Okay.
Only we integrate into one PowerPoint, but I had to make things complicated and use a custom slideshow. I need to turn on the mic. And speak up. This lesson has been something that's been coming as a result of some study. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in the lesson. But I was a little reluctant and nervous after I answered Phil's call for help to fill in for Ed Holder, who had some schedule changes. Because Alan finished Galatians a little faster than anticipated, and the talk tonight's about word study methods. And so I've been nervous that he'd think I was trying to show him up. I think, you know, it was Norm Webb, you know, said that he heard Alan give a talk one time, and he was going to take Alan's lesson and make a real lesson out of it. And I was like, well, I don't want to be accused of that, you know. But I don't know if they did this just to put me at ease, but when Alan asked us about what we remembered from Galatians and got crickets, I was thinking, well, maybe he won't be too sore at me, you know, if I, you know, rehearse Galatians from a little different perspective. Probably breaking some presentation rules, I'm going to ask you to watch a video, and I use that term loosely, shot with my iPhone in the dark. As I set the occasion, the introduction for the lesson, let's see if I can get this to start playing here. February 2017, Elliot and I arrived about an hour or so before dark at the walls of Jericho to join his Boy Scout troop on an overnight hike. If I recall correctly, I think work and caring for my mom, who was with us at the time, meant that I was not able to leave until the end of the workday. And even though I'd gone in earlier than usual, things had prevented me from getting away just when I wanted to, so he and I arrived a little bit after everyone else had launched off into the hike. We began our 3 to 5 mile trek pretty quickly, but we lost the trail as light gave way to darkness. Midway down the trail, if you have not made that hike, we learned, meanders through and over a rock bluff. And that was confirmed to us by our troop when we finally joined up with them, that they had suffered the same setback. And it was an unsettling feeling, not knowing if Elliot and I were walking to our companions or towards being a headline. Nobody wants to be, you know, the subject of a news headline, or at least I don't. So we lost the trail, we lost the blaze marks that we had been following on the trees, we moved slowly, and we would stop and scan 360 degrees with our LED flashlight shining forth 3 to 5 feet in front of us. The sky was overcast, so we couldn't count on the stars. Thankfully, we found the trail after a while. And after a little while longer, we came back to the top of a ridge. We could see campfires in the hollow below, and I'd been pointing out to Elliot, as we had walked earlier in the trail, its snake-like path. And I suggested to him that what we should do is drive towards the light of the campfire. And so we joined the group about an hour after dark, happy, needless to say. What if we don't see the blaze marks? What if we do not have the means to deal with our surroundings? 1 Peter 4:17-18. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? What words, what blazes has God spoken for our journey? With that, I want to pose the question, what words should we be studying in Galatians? Yes, all of them, of course. But we know from word study habits, I don't have to tell you about this, that there's different words that have different levels of emphasis. I'm having trouble getting my slide to advance, so bear with me as I work here. I really like Ken Craig's work in The Big Picture. And therein, he talks about the incredible book and the fact that it holds God's amazing plan. The passage that was just read to you, I want to draw your attention to the notion of searching the depths of God with the assistance of the Spirit. I believe we could spend our entire life reading and studying and searching the depths of God. And not until we're able to be transformed will we truly come to know about God. So for this hour, we'll search the depths of the Word of God in Galatians. Notice I didn't say that my sermon was an hour long. But I do feel a certain sense of responsibility to carry the same standard that Alan does for us. So hopefully in 40 minutes or so, we'll be drawing to a conclusion. I should have been clicking advance there. So this is our mission tonight. We want to look here at the Word of God in Galatians. And the objectives is to try to answer the problem that we all face. Well, okay, Galatians. Let me reference my dead iPad over here, so I'm working from memory. Galatians, 3,050 or 90-something words. 699 single word occurrences. You know, like the word "the" occurs probably, it's at the head of the list usually. So we take those 100 most common words out in our language and we start to try to focus on the occurrences. And what I found out in putting together this method for myself is that I tend to be picking things that maybe represent my bias, you know, towards certain concepts and things, and not necessarily the things that are most frequently spoken by God. That's not to diminish the Word of God. This is just striking at the idea of how do we prioritize what we look at. So I'll share with you my study method tonight. Hopefully that'll be edifying to you. And I chose Galatians because it's fresh on our mind. And hopefully that will be an aid to us as we look at this together. So I suggested to you the question of, what words, what blazes has God spoken in Galatians to light our way? We're going to start with single word occurrences. But before we launch into that, let me just talk about a few things that were comforting to me as I finished the slides for this lesson. Listening to Tom Hawley talk about his wheel and wheel method encourages me. I guess I could have come at this from an engineering, data science, data analytics point of view, but I don't want to do anything to reinforce negative perceptions about us engineers. So, but Tom, you know, I can see him standing right there talking about read it in different ways to see how things fit together. And that resonated with me because of, you know, what I've been doing here. So I appreciate Tom and the fact that I think it was sometime after that Phil put out the call. And I was like, well, you know, maybe I can blame it on Tom if this lesson doesn't go over well. So Alan recently in a class asked the question, so who in here knew about YouVersion? And he made the observation, he's like, you know, we got to speak up about these things and share these resources, you know, with one another. And so, perhaps naively, I hope I'm sharing something with you tonight that'll be of use to you. Ed Holder, in the not too distant past, preached a lesson around biology. And it was impressive. And that's what makes God's Word amazing. I couldn't help but think, as Ed talked to us about biology and drawing parallels to God's Word, and should it come as any surprise to us that our Creator can appeal to the mathematician, to the science person, to the biologist, to the chemist, to the English teacher, to the history professor, to the engineer. I was thinking about Buddy Payne's lessons on DNA and how that really reveals something about the nature of God. So some of those things were comforting to me, and my point is to say that God's plan is amazing because He is an amazing God. We're going to affinitize the words that we'll look at into personalities, places, and things. So without further ado, the top 11 in Galatians. This is scooting my speaker notes now. Ah, that's better. Christ is mentioned 33 times. God, or the Father, is mentioned 31 times. Paul is used twice in his introduction and in his close. But me and my, collectively, both are used 28 times. The law is used 25 times and stands in contrast to faith, which is spoken about 20 times. Jesus is mentioned 16 times. Some of those, 8 and 7 respectively, in a two-word occurrence, Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. The Spirit is used 14 times. The word through, or the concept of through, is mentioned 14 times, the flesh 12, brothers 11, the gospel 10, and of course, Galatia once. Galatia was a region, as you recall, and there were likely a number of churches in that region. Let's begin with some reading. I don't know if I should ask you to listen to me or to try to follow along. I'll try to cite the verses. I'm not going to do this rapid fire, but I am going to try to move on along. So if you want to try to keep up, open your Bibles to Galatians Generally, we'll go from the first chapters to the latter chapters. Galatians 1 and 7. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 17. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. Verse 20. Crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Chapter 3, verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say unto offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. Verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Galatians 5 and 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to you a yoke of slavery. Verse 2. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 12. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Just a couple of observations quickly. That kind of tells the story of Galatians from Christ's perspective. I didn't read all 33 verses. I isolated just on Christ by itself and removed the verses where Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. And then there's one reference to Jesus alone. So I removed those to try to help us focus on gaining a perspective of Christ and his relationship with the Galatians, and by extension, his relationship with those who have put on Christ. Let's look now at Christ Jesus. Galatians 2 and 4. Yet because of false brothers, secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. Chapter 3, verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Verse 26. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 14. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Chapter 5, verse 24. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. One of the things that I've appreciated about Alan's efforts to feed us and proclaim the word is his series on Christ. Yeah, I'm sure that we'd all nod our heads up and down that we need to develop a closer relationship with Christ. And for me, this is a way that I've been able to focus on Christ because he's the dominant theme in this incredible book. And it's easy for us when we set about our reading to maybe, gloss right over that. So hopefully it comes no surprise to you that deity, Christ, God, the Spirit, are usually somewhere up towards the top of the list. So we're going to have a little sidebar, and I'll drag you through my method, hopefully. Again, this will be edifying to you. But we're all faced fundamentally, I'm in the text of Galatians, there's 3,000 and something words, 600 and something single word occurrences. Which ones do I focus in on? Which ones, does God want me to listen to? He wants us to listen to all of his word. I don't want to leave any false message about understanding all of God's word. But I do know that as an earthly father, I tend to repeat things that are important. My sons are all pretty accomplished yard mowers. That torch is passed to Elliot. But they've all had to hear the lecture about, did you look at the weather like I told you to adjust your mowing schedule? Because you can't just mow on Thursday or Friday every week. Sometimes the grass grows faster. Sometimes rain happens on Thursday. And so we repeat things to encourage listening. And I'll go off script a little bit. I was reading a Tennessee spring practice report. And there's hope for us because, some of that Alabama magic has been sprinkled on us. But it caught my ear as Jeremy Pruitt was answering questions about the first day in full pads yesterday. He said, the young men we coach today don't listen well enough. And then I listened to the press conference, and he went on to say, he said, I'm guessing it's because, they Snapchat and, social media and stuff, and so, they're interested in, reading and getting that next message in, but listening. He said that he's going to have to work with the young man under his tutelage about listening. And so to me, there's a connection with number of occurrences of a word and listening. And hopefully that reasoning is valid and appropriate in light of God's word. So my study method. Common stuff. You all know about Bible Gateway. You know about BibleStudyTools.com, that there are Hebrew and Greek lexicons and interlinear versions available to help us understand, the Hebrew or the Greek words. But what I want to draw your attention to is the notion of analyzing a text lexically, a set of scriptural texts, and then looking at the single word occurrences, and letting that lead us then to inward occurrences. Think about what we just did. We looked at a single word occurrence, Christ, and then we moved to Christ Jesus, a two-word occurrence. There's lots of combinations I think I've got that right. The mathematicians will correct me. See, Stephen or Jim or, you know, some of the mathematician types in the audience. And God has given us the combinations. More daunting would be the permutations possible out of that 699 words. It's a big number. I didn't bother with computing it and putting it on the slide, lest I fall victim to pulpit math. Underpinning that is a sprinkle of Tom Holly, and I had kind of been on this, where you search for Christ and you go read the verses about that. And you read them again. And you look at the different other words that describe Christ or the word that you're looking at. And so underpinning all this is the notion of read, read, read. So to try to help you with this, I've just taken some short video snippets of the steps, the results of the steps. Here's Bible Gateway playing. I think I'm typing Christ in, but the text is hard for me to read over here. Oh, excuse me. I'm typing in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to the end of chapter 6. Moving to the ESV. I've done this analysis on the ESV since we are in a period where we're looking at that translation. The New King James would be great. American Standard Version, New American Standard. So what I do is I copy this text, but if you want to repeat this method, you need to turn off verses, footnotes, references. That'll just add some noise to the text analysis. And so you see the copy happening there. I'm just going to stop this for the sake of honoring my time commitment to you. And I'll start the next video. This is what's different. Onlineutility.org. You can choose a text analyzer. You see you got a big block for text. You paste that in there. And you hit this process text button. And I'm going to let this play. And you see, I apologize, 3,500 and something words, 154 sentences. No, we're not studying syllables and consonants tonight. Then, this program, it's interesting, they try to find 8-word occurrences, but the words are contiguous. And then they move to 7-word occurrences, but it's contiguous words, you know, one after the other. I haven't found that to be terribly useful just yet. So I scroll to the bottom and use the bottom of the list where I'm trying to advance the slide here and it's not cooperating with me. Ah, there we go. So I usually scroll to the bottom of the list where you'll find single word occurrences. And as I said, this kind of highlights the daunting task. Which words should I focus on? And the top 11 that I presented to you is culled out of that table of single word occurrences. Let me see if I can fast forward this. Even though these clips are just a minute or so long, minute and a half, it's feeling like an eternity to me standing up here talking to you. And so there's single word occurrences. 2-word occurrences above that. 3-word occurrences above that. And so then, looking at that list, I go to Bible Gateway, and I'll put in that word. And so that's what I want you to take away tonight. Which word do I search for? That's how I got to that list of 11, was looking at this text analysis of the book of Galatians. And then, of course, from there, we can go and look at those individual verses. And then we can use Mounce's interlinear that's on Bible Gateway and look up the word Christ, which is Christos. And then we can go to a Greek lexicon and look up Christos and have a little more depth about what that means. I believe that's important. It's important for us to understand the original language to a certain degree. It makes us better Bible students. It makes us understand what God has preserved for us to understand. But the reading has really been helpful to go beyond that. Even the lexicons will list all the places that that word is used. And so it's useful to even back up and, you know, if you have time, you know, read through, you know, beginning in Matthew, all the way through the number of occurrences for Christ. So there's the method illustrated, and hopefully the videos were not too distracting. Let's continue. Looking next at the word law. Galatians 3 and 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Verse 19. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Chapter 4, verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Chapter 5, verse 3. Again, to every man who accepts circumcision, one aspect of the law, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. And chapter 6, verse 13. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. See the occurrences here in Galatians. And again, you could spend a lot of time, 318 references in the Old Testament about the law. Let's talk about Christ and the law. Chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Chapter 5, verse 4. Ye who are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Let's look at God and the law. Chapter 3, verse 17. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. Verse 18. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. The Spirit and the law. Chapter 5, verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul and the law. Chapter 2, verse 19. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. And verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 16, where we have these six words used together. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not only by works of the law, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. Hopefully I haven't drug you through too much of the top of 11, but I needed to do enough to illustrate the importance of looking at single word occurrences and letting that lead us to N-word occurrences. More revealing, and I'll just give you a sample of this, is to look at each chapter individually. This is the analysis for chapter 1. You'll see some of the Galatian themes there, but in different order. And you'll see some words introduced that are not in the top 11. The notion of the Galatians receiving the gospel. Man in contrast to the gospel. Reference to churches. I won't go through for the sake of time the number of occurrences, but Paul's the most prominent, and the notion that they received the gospel occurs twice. Received is mentioned twice. Elliot and I found ourselves in a dark place. We had two sources of light. Flashlights that were with us, and then we were fortunate to see the campfires in the distance. We have a better source of light, God's Word. And I hope that I've done justice to suggesting that we can spend a lifetime reading, studying, and searching. And there'll still be more depth there for us to explore. As I mentioned, it was a little scary. Scary more for, oh boy, why couldn't I have wrapped things up a little bit quicker at work and gotten Elliot here so that, you know, we're not, hey, where you guys been? Oh, wandering around in the dark. But Elliot takes things in stride. The question I want to pose to us as we close is one of eternal consequence. Have you died with Christ? Bear with me as I take just a little bit of time to extend an invitation. Based around what Paul tells us in Galatians, what God has used Paul to tell us in Galatians. Galatians is 48th in the incredible book, 9th in the New Testament, 4th among the epistles. It was written in the 5th decade A.D. to the churches of Galatia. And it hinges on Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Galatians 3 and 8, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying," it's amazing, Abraham heard the gospel, "in you shall the nations be blessed." Galatians 3:17. "This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void." Galatians 3:16. "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "into offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." Galatians 1 and 7, Paul says that there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That answer is not clearly stated in Galatians. So I'm going to scoot out to another portion of the incredible book over in Corinthians, where Paul says in chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received," there's that word "received," "in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." Acts 9 recounts Paul hearing the word of God on the road to Damascus. And in Acts 9, verse 18, Luke says, "He rose and was baptized after Ananias had come to him at the instruction and command of God." In Galatians 2 and 20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." We want to just look at the notion of baptism. Paul, again, in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, "Therefore we have been buried with him through," that word "through," "baptism into Christ, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Galatians talks about through Christ, faith through Christ. Faith in Christ. Galatians 3 and 5 ask, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Faith is explained in Galatians in contrast to the law as a means of being justified before God. Galatians 2:16, as we read. However, Galatians doesn't mention repentance or confession. But Romans 6:12 and chapter 10, verse 10 do so, along with other references. Consider the Galatians received the gospel that Paul received and preached in dealing with the Jewish insistence on law keeping, particularly circumcision. And Paul tells them that that's a distortion of the gospel, a different gospel than the gospel of Christ. I hope that a relook at God's incredible plan in His incredible Word through the book of Galatians has been beneficial to you. If you're not quite ready yet to act upon what you understand, there are many, many able men apt to teach who would be happy to study with you. But if you are ready to act, we just want to ask the question again, have you died with Christ?